ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi there, I'm Sam Hawley, host of ABC News Daily. Our podcast covers one big news story each weekday in just 15 minutes. From history-changing world news to cost of living concerns at home, expert guests and ABC journalists explain what matters most. Follow the ABC News Daily podcast on the ABC Listen app.
It's the one call we're always supposed to be able to make, an emergency call to 000. But in parts of Tassie, that's not always the case.
There's a lot of hard-working Tasmanians out there.
My boss is the boss of Tasmania.
Tasmanians want us to get on with the job.
North, south, east, west, I don't care where you live in the state.
Unreliable mobile and internet coverage continues to put lives at risk.
With car accidents, people not being able to call for help could be the difference between life and death.
Volunteer, fire, ambulance and SES services cannot reliably retrieve critical incident data or even make a simple phone call.
Hello and welcome to TassieCast. I'm Airlie Ward, coming to you from Nipaluna, Hobart. Have you ever had to call 000? If you did, I hope it turned out okay, because getting through to emergency services can be the difference between life and death. We know three deaths in South Australia and WA are linked to the recent Optus 000 outage, and the Federal Senate is investigating the failure. Parts of Tassie have communications black spots. You've probably experienced it. Travelling along our country roads as they dip and wind, and you're in the middle of a phone conversation with someone and then suddenly disconnected. That's annoying. But if it's a medical emergency, a car crash or a fire, getting through to that voice on the other end of the phone is vital. Reporter Ash Barraclough went to a recent meeting of residents in our Central Highlands who are concerned poor mobile services in their area are endangering lives, Ash.
Hi, Ellie. Yeah, the meeting was in Myina, which is in the Central Highlands. It's a beautiful spot on the shores of Yingina Great Lake, which is super popular with fly fishers, and of course, it's surrounded by the Wilderness World Heritage Area. So the population really booms over holiday periods, which puts pressure on mobile services and clogs up the network. Even when I was there on Saturday for the meeting, I found that I could make a call, but I couldn't connect to the internet at all until I went to the local pub and connected to their Wi-Fi. So it is definitely a pretty bad issue.
Ash, this meeting was organised by a local volunteer, AMBO, and firefighter.
Yeah, so at the top we heard from Michael Walls. He coordinates the local Volunteer Ambulance Association and he's also a volunteer firey. He says that when an emergency strikes, reliable voice and data connectivity are the first line of defence, but that the mobile service is failing consistently. He reckons the shutdown of 3G last year exacerbated the issue. Here he is speaking at the meeting in Myina, which was attended by more than 100 people, which is pretty similar to the size of the population of Myina itself.
How can we as a community members accept a situation where the safety of our residents and our visitors fundamentally compromised by unreliable telecommunications infrastructure? The risk is really intolerable and the liability should the worst occur is immense. For the residents who live and work in Myina, the frustration has hardened into justified despair and the feeling of being completely abandoned. We are paying premium prices for a service that is substandard and frankly does not work as expected.
You can really hear the frustration and fear in his voice there, Ash. And his concerns were backed up by local police officer Jess Weston.
There's been multiple times where I haven't been able to contact people in emergencies. The reception over Christmas time is absolutely terrible. But it's not just Christmas, it's long weekends, it's Easter. It's whenever people are up here, and it overloads the tower.
Have there been instances, Ash, where lives have been endangered by that failure?
Yeah, well, we heard from another volunteer ambulance officer, Constantine Lucas. He touched on an emergency that he attended involving a fishing club over at Lake Sorrel. So he said that it took an hour to find the patient in the dark because there was no reception. Now, obviously, in any emergency situation, time is of the essence. So obviously, that would have been a really frightening and frustrating liberating experience for everyone involved in that. He also touched on some personal issues he's experienced. So he has a pacemaker and a remote monitoring device, which sends data to his cardiologist, or it's meant to, but unfortunately he can't get it to work because there's no reception. So it means that he has to travel to see his cardiologist twice a year instead. Now, after the meeting, I spoke with another Myina local, Robin Taylor. So she cleans the local short stay properties in the area, and she's pretty worried about what could happen to her if she did have an emergency while she's out there cleaning by herself.
When I'm going out to places like Little Pine, Lagoon, that there is no service at all, and I'm on my own, so there's nobody else around there unless it's a weekend, which is very unusual for me to be cleaning on a weekend. And if I have an accident or hurt myself, I have no way of contacting emergency services. And that is frightening, very frightening for me.
And she has good reason to be frightened. Recently, she had a choking incident and she wasn't able to call for help because she didn't have any service. Now, luckily, she was able to clear her airway by herself, but it did make her wonder what could happen in a different situation.
Ash, service providers were there at the meeting. Did they give locals any reassurance?
Yeah, so both Telstra and the National Broadband Network were at the meeting answering the community's questions and listening to some of those concerns. So Telstra says that significant upgrades are on the way, which will improve the capacity of the service at Myina and surrounds. So those are due by Christmas. And so that means that more people will be able to connect to the network without it overloading so easily. And Telstra also says that it's applied to the federal government for co-funding to build a new base station at Flintstone. So that would provide mobile coverage to the area, which is currently a mobile black spot. We did hear at the meeting, though, that some people who can afford it are turning to Starlink, such as the owner of the Great Lake Hotel, who says that that is the only way he can process FPOS payments during busy periods. However, we do know that Starlink doesn't come cheap, so it's certainly not an option for everyone.
That's like double the cost, isn't it, of a normal sort of a standard broadband. Ash, the Central Highlands, it's not the only part of Tassie that has this issue.
No, we've heard that it's also an issue for people on the west coast of Tasmania, in the Upper Derwent Valley and the Tasman Peninsula as well. So earlier this year, the ABC spoke with residents on the Tasman Peninsula who shared similar to stories to what we've heard about the Central Highlands. So volunteer emergency services not being able to communicate with each other, businesses struggling because they can't process transactions, all of the issues that come along with not having a reliable connection.
The federal government made promises, Ash, during this year's federal election campaign to extend an existing service obligation on telcos.
Yeah, so Australia has a universal service obligation, which means that everyone in Australia is entitled to a landline and a home internet connection. That means that theoretically at home, if you're connected to Wi-Fi, you should be able to call emergency services if you need to through Wi-Fi calling. And ahead of this year's federal election, the Labor Party promised to extend the universal service obligation to include outdoor mobile services. Now, Ailey, this would be an absolute game changer for anyone who lives or spends time in regional or rural Australia. So it means that pretty much anywhere where you can see the sky in Australia, you can make a call or send a text. So the legislation is expected to come before Parliament this year and commence by December 2028.
Because it's often when you're out and about that you need to make those calls to emergency services. You don't always have access to your Wi-Fi, Ash.
Yeah, like if you're out in the bush, we know that a lot of accidents happen there. So yeah, it'll completely change the game for the way we connect.
Ash, this all relates to three key things: access, affordability, and digital ability. And this week, the latest Australian Digital Inclusion Index was released. Now, that's a study which has been done for the past decade or so, and it looks at how well connected we are in the country. Tas was below the national average, though, on all three.
Yeah, so Tassie does rank the lowest in the country overall on the Digital Inclusion Index, as well as below the national average across those three indicators that you mentioned. So let's look at cost, for example. The report's author, Julian Thomas from RMIT University, says that a home internet connection isn't affordable for low-income households, of which Tasmania has a higher portion than the national average. So for some households, a mobile phone is actually the only way they have of connecting to the internet. Professor Thomas says that's a real concern, particularly in terms of education outcomes for students who might need to rely on their parents to hotspot off their phone if they want to connect to the internet.
If you have a fixed line connection, it means that kids are much more able to get their homework done. There's much more flexibility and capability in terms of what you can do online.
Tassie also has an older population than the rest of the country, Ash, where there are still literacy as well as cost issues, but there has been an uptick there, and that's been one positive thing to have come out of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, so the good news is Tassie's actually making really significant gains on the digital literacy front. So Julian Thomas says when they first started the index back in 2016, so before the pandemic, there was a massive gap between younger Australians and older Australians when it comes to digital literacy. But now that's actually changing. So when people were isolated during the pandemic, speaking over the phone or online was the only way to connect with your loved ones. So that really resulted in an upswing in the older population's digital ability. So it means that older generations are getting better, not just at using Facebook and other social media, but really utilising a vast array of different digital services.
This study, Ash, was also among one of the first, I understand, to look into how many of us are using generative AI.
Yeah, the study found that nearly half of us are using generative AI in some way, shape or form. So that's things like ChatGPT. Among those who use AI, 60% used it for advice for work or study, 40% were seeking advice for entertainment, and interestingly, around 9% of people engaged with a chatbot for social connection or conversation. The report authors have some concerns that the growing use of AI could widen the digital divide and put those with lower digital ability, or really anyone, I think, at risk. So, for example, AI could make people more vulnerable to scams and misinformation.
Oh, Ash, that's a can of worms for another pod. I don't know about you, but it can be hard sometimes to tell the fake real from the real, that's for sure. Thanks, Ash. What about you? What's your relationship with the digital world like? Have you got a good or dodgy connection? Or maybe you don't engage? Let us know. Send us an email to tassiecast@abc.net.au. Until next time, cheers.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.